Samadrisha equipoised, Shuddha cleansed, purified, Sarva all, Bhuta living entities, Anuranjanaha pleasing, Yanti go, Anjasa easily, Achyuta of the Lord, Padam to the abode, Achyuta Priya with devotees of the Lord, Bandavaha friends. Translation. Persons who are peaceful, equipoised, cleansed and purified, and who know the art of pleasing all other living entities, keep friendship only with devotees of the Lord. They alone can very easily achieve the perfection of going back home, back to Godhead. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki. The description of this verse fully indicates that only devotees are eligible to enter into the kingdom of Godhead. The first point stated is that devotees are peaceful, for they have no demands for their personal sense gratification. They are simply dedicated to the service of the Lord. Karmis cannot be peaceful because they have immense demands for sense gratification. As for jnanis, they cannot be peaceful because they are too busy trying to attain liberation or merge into the existence of the Supreme. Similarly, yogis are also restless to get mystic power. But a devotee is peaceful because he is fully surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thinks of himself as completely helpless. Just as a child feels complete peace in depending on the parents, so a devotee is completely peaceful, for he depends on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Devotee is equipoised. He sees everyone in the same transcendental platform. A devotee knows that although a conditioned soul has a particular type of body according to his past fruitive activities, factually everyone is a part of Supreme Lord. A devotee sees all living entities with spiritual vision and does not discriminate on the platform of the bodily concept of life. Such qualities developed only in the association of devotees. Without the association of devotees, one cannot advance in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we have established the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Factually, however, in this society, whoever lives in this society automatically develops Krishna consciousness. Devotees are dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is only dear to devotees. On this platform, one can make progress in Krishna consciousness. Persons in Krishna consciousness or devotees of the Lord can please everyone. As is evident in a Krishna consciousness movement, we invite everyone without discrimination. We request everyone to sit down and chant the Hare Krishna mantra and take as much prasadam as we can supply. And thus everyone is pleased with us. This is the qualification. Sarva Bhuta Anuranjanaha. As for purification, no one can be more pure than devotees. Anyone who once utters the name of Vishnu immediately becomes purified, inside and outside. Yaksmaret Pundari Kaksham. Since the devotee constantly chants the Hare Krishna mantra, no contamination of the material world can touch him. He is therefore actually purified. Muchi hoy shuchi hoy, Jyoti Krishna Bhaje. It is said that even a cobbler, a person born in a family of a cobbler, can be elevated to the position of a brahmana, shuchi, if he takes to Krishna consciousness. Any person who is purely Krishna conscious and who engages in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the purest in the whole universe. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Santak samadrishah sudah sarva bhuta nuranjana Yantanja Sachyuta Padam Achyuta Priya Bandavaham. Persons who have peaceful equipoise, cleansed and purified, and who know the art of pleasing all the living beings, keep friendship only with devotees of the Lord. They alone can very easily achieve the perfection of going back home, back to Godhead. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Goravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Veva Cha Patitanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnava Bhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Yes. Oh, really? Okay. So this is very appropriate that we are reading this verse which describes the qualities of devotees, and Prabhupada stresses in the purport, and in fact this is said here in this verse, that only because of these qualities devotees are eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. Sometimes we think that the process of going back home, back to Godhead, is an automatic process, that we don't have to do anything special. But in fact, the lesson of this verse is that one has to have certain qualities, because if one does not possess these particular qualities, there is no chance for him to go back home to Godhead. And the process of devotional service is the process of developing these qualities. It's very logical, because one has to possess a certain type of mood, certain type of body, to be in a particular environment. In Vaishnava Gaudiya, Vaishnava literature, it is very clearly explained that place means mood. Like, for example, what is Vrindavan? Vrindavan means a certain mood. It's not only a particular place, but the essence of the place is a mood. Like Prabhupada said, that temples of the Lord are the embassies of the supreme abode of Vaikuntha, because there is a certain mood. Each and every place is a place conducive to develop certain moods. Certain modes of material nature influence us. And a place, again, means mood, and unless we develop the mood which is conducive, or which is appropriate to a certain place, we will not be able to go to this place. We can only go to Vaikuntha if we have Vaikuntha mood. Vaikuntha means no anxieties. Vaikuntha means a place which is completely peaceful and free from all kinds of anxieties. Therefore, this verse starts from this word, Shanta, which means peaceful. You can only go to Vaikuntha if you are completely free from all the desires. If you are in anxiety, if your desires are tearing apart your heart, you will not be able to go to Vaikuntha. For that, there is an appropriate place, and this place is called material world. Here in this material world, you can be in anxiety as much as you like. You can have all kinds of material desires, and you can fulfill all your desires. But if you want to go to Vaikuntha, you have to become peaceful even here. Only when you develop this mood, which is totally, completely Vaikuntha mood, then you can reach Vaikuntha. Then automatically you can reach Vaikuntha. It is said here, Anjasa. Anjasa means very easily. You can go to this place if you're already in this atmosphere, if you have created this atmosphere within your heart. Srimati Ratarani on Kurukshetra, when she is calling Krishna back to Vrindavan, she says, my mind is Vrindavan. She says, Krishna, you love Vrindavan so much because Vrindavan is a certain peaceful place, is a certain atmosphere of love. And she says, my mind is Vrindavan. And My mind is not different than Vrindavan. And that's why she started pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan. And Krishna couldn't help but go back to Vrindavan because he was so attracted to this atmosphere of Vrindavan. And in the same way, when our mind becomes peaceful, when our mind becomes this spiritual world, the spiritual atmosphere descends within our mind, only then Krishna can enter our mind. We will not be able to remember about Krishna if our mind remains this dirty place which is very much appropriate to this material world. So, and this is one point of this verse, very essential, that we have to develop certain qualities. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Siddharaswami, commenting on the verse Tatenu Kampam Susamikshamanam from the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, Prayers of Lord Brahma, Siddharaswami explains that one can only go to sun if one has fiery body. You know, if you go to sun, if you want to go to sun, you know, you make a very beautiful spaceship and you go to sun. This is expedition to sun. But how far you can go? You will be burned because your body is not conducive to the atmosphere of the sun. But you can go to sun and enjoy sun only if you have a sunny body. Only if your body is fiery, has the quality of fire, then you can go to sun and enjoy the opulences of the sun. So in a similar way, if we want to go to Vaikuntha and enjoy opulences of Vaikuntha, which are plenty, the opulences of Vaikuntha are so great that there is no words to describe the opulences of this place. We have to create certain body within ourselves. And the practice of Krishna consciousness is the way to create this kind of atmosphere within our heart, within our mind, within our bodies. And the life of Dhruva Maharaj is a very good example of how it is being created. Because sometimes we like to repeat Prabhupada's words that everything comes automatically for a devotee. And that's a fact. He even says this in this purport when he says that if one remains in the society of devotees, all these qualities more or less automatically will develop within himself. Because again, the main point is that you can develop these qualities only when you see somebody who already has these qualities. Only when you associate with somebody who already possesses these qualities. You basically develop the nature of somebody whom you associate with. The nature is developed according to the association. It's a very strong statement of our philosophy. It is said by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. In Bhagavad Gita, he answers the question of Arjuna. Arjuna asks him, what is Adhyatma? In the seventh chapter, in the end of seventh chapter, Arjuna... No, in the beginning of eighth chapter, Arjuna asks, what is Adhyatma? What is this principle which governs the soul? Atma means soul, and Adhyatma means something which is higher than Atma. What is this principle which the soul basically more or less follows? Who is governing the soul? And Krishna answers, Svabhava. And Svabhava means nature. And meaning in this statement of Krishna is very deep. That the soul, being very small, belonging to Tatashta Shakti, to the marginal energy of the Lord, acquires the quality of the environment, the qualities of the nature which surrounds the soul. If you are in Canada, you acquire the qualities of a Canadian. There's a certain mood here. And you become a Canadian, you know. Even though you may be Russian by birth, but you come to Canada and sooner or later you become a Canadian. And the principle here is that you acquire qualities of your association. If you are associated with certain modes of material nature, if you are constantly, consistently associated with the mode of goodness, you will become a good person. If you consistently associate with the mode of tamas, ignorance, you become very ignorant. You know, it is also explained in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where Krishna explains that there are certain agents which influence our consciousness. He says, basically, he lists 10 or 11 different agents, which are the agents of different qualities. And he starts off saying, he says the scriptures is one of the agents, water is another agent, time is another agent, place is another agent. He gives the list of certain powerful influences or forces which actually change our nature. It is explained in the purport to this verse, for example, that there are scriptures in the mode of goodness, and there are scriptures in the mode of ignorance, and there are scriptures in the mode of rajas. And you read particular scripture. You know, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, it's pure goodness. Then you develop certain kind of mood gradually. You know, if every day you read Srimad Bhagavatam, then it somehow or other sinks in, even though you resist to it. Somehow or other this philosophy goes inside your heart. But if you read some kind of rajasic literature, then this rajas will go inside your heart. Or if you write or read tamasic literature or tamasic scripture, like there is scriptures, tantric scriptures, which recommend intake of wine or taking meat or doing all kinds of tantric rituals, then you will develop this tamasic nature. There is no doubt about it. And then it's also interesting because one of the most powerful influences which develops or which influences your nature is water. Because water means taste. And taste is a very powerful agent. Whatever taste you intake, it will influence your heart. Like, for example, if you take whiskey or vodka or beer, it is a very powerful agent to influence your consciousness. You take alcohol again and again and again, and you become totally tamasic. You become like alcohol, you know. You become alcoholic. You become inside alcoholic, outside alcoholic. Your consciousness acquires certain qualities. And that's the point. And therefore, Prabhupada, he makes this point very clearly. And therefore, it is specifically said there, Achyuta Priya Bandava. This verse starts with Shantaha. Shantaha means peaceful. Shantaha means you have no desires. But how you can develop this quality of desirelessness in this material world where everyone desires so much? You know, you go out in the street and you have the big billboard, and the billboard says, desire, desire, this is what you want. And you feel like, you know, yes, that's what I want, you know, this is what I want. So one guy is driving a big car, Mercedes car, and you think, yes, I want this, and I want that, and I want that. So many objects of desires are here in this world. And people are making plans, you know, I want this, and I want that, and I will execute this plan and that plan. Therefore, it is specifically said that you can only achieve this state of complete peacefulness, which is a preliminary qualification, which is a necessary qualification to go to Vaikuntha. There is no chance for you to go to Vaikuntha unless all your desires are already done. You are done with all your desires. If you have even small, tiny, little desire lingering within your heart, dying, you will remember about this desire. And because you will remember about desire, Krishna will remind you about this desire. You may even try to hide it away, even from yourself. You may try to somehow or other be oblivious of this desire, but Krishna very kindly will remind you about this desire. And this desire will be executed in the next life. You will take birth again, you know, to fulfill your crazy, stupid, ridiculous desire in this world. So therefore, the first preliminary qualification to go to Vaikuntha, you become Shantaha. But the condition to become Shantaha means Achyuta Priya Bandavaha, you become a friend of devotees. You have to become really close friend with the devotees, to associate with devotees very closely to acquire this quality of peacefulness. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no chance to acquire all these qualities unless and until you associate with devotees. And again, of course, this is the story of Dhruva Maharaj, and that's not only the story of Dhruva Maharaj. That's the story of any one of us who is an aspiring devotee. In the next verse, or in one of the next verses, when Narada Muni will conclude this narration of Dhruva Maharaj, he will say a very important point. He will say that this narration is very dear to the devotees. Why this narration is so dear to the devotees? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri would listen this narration hundreds of times. Gadadhar Pandit would read this story of Dhruva Maharaj, and when he would finish this story, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say, read it again, read it again, read it again. Hundreds of times he would listen this story of Dhruva Maharaj. The question is why? And it's indeed a very important question, because one would assume that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would ask Gadadhar Pandit, why don't you read 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam about Krishna? Why do you read all this, 4th canto and 3rd canto and 2nd canto and 7th canto? But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would ask again and again, please read to me the story of Dhruva. Please read to me the story of Prahlad. And this is very important. And there are two reasons for this. At least two reasons. Actually, there are many more reasons for this. But one of the reasons which is relevant for us is that because Dhruva Maharaj was not a pure devotee in the beginning. Because Dhruva Maharaj was a sadhaka. Of course, this is not the reason which is relevant for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is asking to read this story because for him... Anyway, I will tell about this a little later, why this story is so dear for Chaitanya. From this story we can learn how to become pure devotees. Dhruva Maharaj started off as somebody who had all material desires. He didn't start off as a pure devotee who was searching for God. He started off as somebody who was offended, who was a materialist, and who wanted kingdom which is bigger than the kingdom of his father. He had all material desires. He had greed. He has a very strong greed to acquire a lot of opulences, to acquire a lot of wealth, to acquire a lot of enjoyment in this world. So that was initial point of his devotional service. And of course, we know why the story of Dhruva Maharaj is so important, because in the story of Dhruva Maharaj, we have all kinds of gurus who guide him in this path. The first guru is his mother. His mother says, if you want to fulfill your desires, go to forest and pray to the Lord. This is the way to fulfill all your desires. I heard that the Lord is living somewhere there in the forest. Therefore, all these rishis and munis, they go to the forest, because supposedly Narayana is only dwelling there. He is not living in this big cities or whatever. You go to the forest. She is Vartma Pradakshaka Guru. She is showing the way to Dhruva Maharaj. And she is saying, my dear son, if you want to fulfill your desire, go to the Lord. There is no other way to fulfill your desire. There is no other way to be fulfilled. We are unfulfilled because we are so small. We are incomplete. And therefore we have to come to the Lord. We have to come closer to the Lord to feel the completeness of the Lord. Anyway, he goes to the forest. And on the way to the forest, he sees Narada Muni. And Narada Muni, of course, he is Diksha Guru. First you have Vartma Pradakshaka Guru, who shows you the way. But then you need to meet with a pure devotee who will give you Diksha. And Narada Muni tests him, and he says, why do you go to the forest, go back. You're a small boy. Small boys don't live in the forest. There are so many animals there, and anyway, what do you want there in the forest? First go, you can only approach God if you're completely free from all your material desires. Go first to the palace, fulfill your desires, then come back to the forest when you're old, and then do your practice. And Dhruva Maharaj says, no, I want to go to the forest. And Narada Muni says, okay, if you really want it, here is the process. Take this mantra. And he gives the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He gives the initiation into this mantra. And by practicing this, Dhruva Maharaja achieves amazing success. He practiced this with fierce determination. He chants this mantra. He stands on one leg. He performs all kinds of activities. So much so that the Lord is forced to come. to fulfill the promise of his pure devotee, Narada Muni. Not so much because of Dhruva Maharaja's austerities, because you cannot really get the Lord by austerities, but to fulfill the promise of Narada Muni, the Lord himself comes. And that's basically the turning point in the career of Dhruva Maharaj, because when the Lord comes, and when the Lord asks Dhruva Maharaj, "What do you want, my dear sir? You wanted me so badly, here I am." And Dhruva Maharaj, he stands there dumb. He doesn't know what to say, because he's so overwhelmed by the beauty of the Lord. And he says, "My Lord, I don't want anything. You are here, you are in front of me. My Lord, I only want you." And the Lord touches him with his counsel. And Dhruva Maharaj starts praying to the Lord. And this is the point where he becomes pure devotee, because all his desires vanishes. But that's not enough. The most amazing point of the story about Dhruva Maharaj is that even though the Lord comes in front of him in person, that would be a happy end of anyone's story. But Srimad Bhagavatam is not that simple. The Lord himself comes to Dhruva Maharaj. The Lord himself touches him, hits him by the head, and says, "Please, you know, come to your senses." But then what happens with Dhruva Maharaj is that he goes back to his kingdom, and he starts killing yakshas, and, you know, gets very angry. And again, he seemingly slips into some kind of material consciousness. And therefore, Svayambhuva Manu comes in front of him as Shiksha Guru. It is, again, very important point here, and a very relevant point for us, because it's not enough just to get initiation. And it's not enough even to perform austerities. Because in Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's very clearly said that when you get initiation, you get the darshan of the Lord. Initiation means, with the mantra, a pure devotee gives you the power to see the Lord. But still, it's not enough. Even when you see the Lord, and even when you completely free yourself from all other desires, and you only have this one desire to get to the Lord, still you have to get to him. Dhruva Maharaj doesn't go back to Vaikuntha immediately after meeting with the Lord. And the Lord himself says, "You have a long way to go. Here I am in front of you for a split moment of a short darshan. But then, after understanding that I am the real goal, that everything else is futile, everything else is ridiculous, everything else is not worth of trying or working for it, then you still have to overcome all these problems which are there within your heart." And we see that the Supreme Lord arranges this ridiculous situation for Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj goes to Yakshasas, and Yakshasas are fighting with him, and he's fighting with them, and he's becoming so angry, and he kills Yakshasas after Yakshasas, so many, hundreds and millions of these Yakshasas. And then Svayambhuva Manu comes to him as Shiksha Guru. And actually the real teaching in this life of Dhruva Maharaj is given by Svayambhuva Manu. He gives him, in this particular chapter of this story, he gives him Sambandha Jnana. You know, the point here is that you cannot really develop all these qualities unless and until you really develop very, strong philosophical foundation for your life. And then after that, after this story, when Svayambhuva Manu comes to Dhruva Maharaj and teaches him Sambandha Jnana, explains to him philosophy. Because before that, Dhruva Maharaj didn't know any philosophy. He was just performing austerities. So again, here you need a Shiksha Guru who will teach you philosophy, who will tell you what to do, what not to do, how to behave, how to place yourself in this world. Because still, despite of getting initiation, despite of chanting the mantra, despite of performing austerities, you still have to purify your heart. It's again one of the qualities which is mentioned here, Shuddha. Shantaha, first you have to become peaceful, then you have to look equally on every living being, and then Shuddha, you have to become completely pure within your heart. So, and then after this story, after Manu, Svayambhuva Manu gives him this teaching, there is again very significant event in Dhruva Maharaj's life when Kuvera comes to him. And I was thinking, why did Kuvera come to him? It's Kuvera in person comes to him, and Kuvera says, what do you want? And the answer is very simple. It's again a test. Because initially, what Dhruva Maharaj wanted? He wanted wealth. And therefore Kuvera, the god of wealth, who has all the wealth of the demigods, come to him and says, my dear son, what do you want? Please ask me, what do you want? I can give you all the wealth. And Dhruva Maharaj says, no, no, I don't need wealth. Sorry, I don't need money. Please give me bhakti. You know, if Kuvera would come to us, God save us, what would we ask of him? Of course we would ask money. We would say, you know, you are god of wealth. You are demigod of wealth. Give me money, give me money. I want money. Dhruva Maharaj, again, this is in one sense metaphorical description of the tests which devotees have to undergo. After practicing devotional service, after getting devotional service, you will be tempted or seduced. Somebody will come to you and say, do you want money? And most of us will say, of course I do. What do you mean? Of course I do want money. So Kuvera comes in front of Dhruva Maharaj and Kuvera says, what do you want? And Dhruva Maharaj says, I only want devotion. Please give me pure devotion. Please give me the chance. Please give me, that's his prayer. Please give me the quality, or give me the power to remember about the Lord all the time. I don't want anything else. I want to remember about him. So he passes this test. But still, this is not enough. Even this is not enough, because the rest of the life of Dhruva Maharaj is again described in this chapter, and it is said that after that, he was ruling the world, he was following regulative principles, he was performing his duties, and he was trying to get rid of the leftovers of his karma. It is specifically said there that he was burning his karma, his good karma by enjoying, and his bad karma by performing austerities. And he was performing so many sacrifices for 36,000 of years. And even this was not enough. And after that, to burn away the last traces of bad habits, of bad karma, of everything else, he would go to the forest. And in the forest, he would perform austerities, he would again remember his beginning of his devotional career, again to be completely purified, to go to Vaikuntha. And only after that he goes to Vaikuntha, not before. Only after undergoing all these problems in the forest, you know, and completely purifying himself, he meets with all this, with the Vishnu Dutas who come to take him to Vaikuntha planet. And, you know, today Bhaktitirtha Maharaj passed away, and I was recently there in Gita Nagari. I was fortunate enough to have his darshan just a couple of weeks ago, when he already stopped meeting with the devotees. And before that I was speaking with Radhanand Maharaj, His Holiness Radhanand Maharaj, who was his caretaker, who was near him. And we naturally spoke about Bhaktitirtha Maharaj and about the experiences he goes through. And I know there are so many devotees in the movement who ask why. Why did Krishna arrange it for him like this? Why did he have to undergo so much sufferings and so much problems and so much, you know, kind of things? And of course, whatever Krishna does, especially when it refers to a pure devotee, he has many, many purposes to be fulfilled. And one obvious answer is that it's a lesson for every one of us. Prabhupada, when he was dying, and it was also not an easy death, Prabhupada, for months and months and months, he was suffering very severely. And by the way, he was teaching all of his young disciples of how to die. You know, he was lying on the bed, on the deathbed in Vrindavan, and all these young disciples, full of vigor and energy, surrounded him. And once he would say to him, to them, you know, don't think it will not happen with you. Because when you're full of energy, when you're young, you think, yeah, I will not die. Or, I will die, but it will be like quickly. No. It's not an easy process. It's difficult. You will have to undergo agony and pain and suffering. And there is a lot of chances that you will forget about the Supreme Lord in this. So, in the similar way, when Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was undergoing all these problems and difficulties, this is a lesson for every one of us. This is what is ahead of all of us. No matter who we are, and if we are not serious about devotional service, and sometimes we tend to be a little negligent or little complacent. You know, I have it all, you know, it's... Yes, I am chanting Hare Krishna mantra. But no, you know, you are chanting Hare Krishna mantra, but still your heart has to be completely pure. But then another lesson, and that's what His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj told me when I asked him this question, why? Why does it happen? Does it have to happen like this? Why Maharaj has to undergo so much suffering before he goes back to Krishna? And actually, when I met with him, he was crying, and I was crying when we met each other. And he said, I don't know where I'm going. But if I go to Vaikuntha, I will prepare a nice place for every one of you. And I said, Maharaj, you know, for sure you're going to Vaikuntha. Don't worry about this. But I asked Radhanath Maharaj, why does it happen like this? Maharaj said, you know, see, devotional service is a scientific process. And specifically, it is a lesson of every verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. And this particular verse is, again, a reminder for us that this is not just kind of cheap religion. You know, sometimes people, they think that religion is just to create some miracle, or just kind of cheap, you know. So many religions, they just give you cheap promises. You just become the member of our sect, you pay some little money to us, and you will go back to Godhead, no problem. You know, this is not true. You know, even though Prabhupada says here that you have to remain in the society of devotees to go back to Godhead, but this is just a preliminary demand or preliminary requirement, because you may remain in the society of devotees, but if you don't purify your heart, you will not go back to Godhead. You just remain here. So many things remain here. So many cockroaches remain in this temple or whatever. You know, so many little living entities are also here in this temple. Does it mean that they will go back to Godhead? Not necessarily. Because you have to develop a very strong desire for this. You have to develop a very pure heart for this. And when I asked this question of Radhanath Maharaj, why does it happen with Maharaj? He gave a very amazing answer, the answer which actually struck me. Because he said that when we are in association with devotees, it's dangerous in one sense too. We may create so many offenses. It is specifically said there, here, that he became Achyuta Priya Bandavaha. Shantaha is the first quality. Samadrisaha, he is equipoise, he has equal vision. Sudaha, he has a very pure heart. Sarvabhuta, Anuranjanaha, he is pleasing to everyone. But then, again, Achyuta Priya Bandavaha is the most important quality, because you cannot go back to Godhead if you are, unless you are a very good friend with all the devotees, because there, in the Vaikuntha, there's only devotees. And if you cannot stand devotees, if you don't like devotees, you cannot get there, you cannot go there, you have no place there. So, and Maharaj said that those people, and we can see those disciples of Srila Prabhupada who were somewhat complacent or negligent, or who didn't understand this very important point, that you have to become a servant of devotees, you have to become a friend of devotees, who offended devotees, Krishna teaches them in a very severe way. When you offend devotees, you lose any little traces of bhakti which may be still there in your heart. You may perform so many other things, you may chant mantras, you may, you know, do so many other things. If you offend devotees, you will lose bhakti. And that's a very severe lesson. I've seen it, how it happens. You know, somebody may be very brilliant, may perform so much service to the Supreme Lord. If he offends devotees, sooner or later he loses his bhakti. And it may come again if he really comes to his senses, if he really understands what he has lost. But at least temporarily, this is a very severe lesson which Krishna gives. Krishna says, you know, if you offend my devotees, there is no chance for you to keep bhakti towards me. And that's one thing. But then Maharaj said, but even if you are not offending devotees, still, in this society, it's very dangerous to be here in this society. You may not be offending devotees, but or you may not be doing it in a gross way. Still, you're doing some little offenses here and there. Still in the mind, you think you're higher than other devotees. Still in your mind, you think I'm better than other devotees. This is also offense. Because there are grades and shades and different gradations of offense. In Skanda Purana, it is said, if you don't smile when you see a devotee, you're offending him. Because you have to be happy within your heart. If you see a devotee, you have to really smile, you know. And sometimes we don't smile when we see devotees. Oftentimes we don't smile. We see, yeah, here he is, here he comes. What is he doing here? You know? Oh, this guy, yeah, I know this guy. This is little offenses. And besides that, you know, it's a dangerous society, because in this society you can get also honor, you can get respect, and you can be affected by all these things. As much as Dhruva Maharaj, he very consciously, he tries to purify his heart from the last traces of his material attachments. It is specifically said there that he is enjoying the opulences of kingly life. Why he is enjoying? Not for the sake of enjoyment, but for the sake of burning away the good karma which he has. You know, that's his purpose. Yes, he takes the enjoyment and he is very happy about taking enjoyment, not for the enjoyment's sake, but saying, you know, now I'm free from this chunk of karma. You know, but we may be affected by all this good karma. On the way of doing devotional service, we acquire some good karma. And some good karma comes in a way of praise, or in a way of honor, in a way of respect, in a way of this and that, or in a way of some money, you know. And we can be affected by this, subtly or grossly. So, because of these subtle things, this is, Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur explains this, In Madhuri Kadambini, where he explains the stages of devotional service, of development of devotional service. And he says that there are some anarthas which are created by our performance of devotional service. Not only anarthas which are created by our past sinful activities, not only anarthas which are created by our past pious activities, but anarthas which are specifically created by our performance of devotional service. And your heart has to be completely free from all these anarthas before you go back home, back to Godhead. And that's basically the lesson of this story. And Radhana Maharaj told me that, you know, this last days of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's life is the lesson for all of us, that we may have to go through all these sufferings and all these problems again, to become completely free from all these traces of material attachments, which we may acquire on the way of performing devotional service. That's the point. If we're not really conscious about this, here Dhruva Maharaj is very conscious about this. He's extremely conscious about this. He lives his life, he performs his duties, he's perfect in all respects. He is applying the teaching of his guru, Narada Muni and Svayambhuva Manu, perfectly in his life. But still, he is very consciously trying to remove all the traces of past attachments. If we are not consciously doing this, Krishna will arrange the situation for us, in which all these attachments will be burned. And it may be painful. Because either you perform austerities voluntarily, and that's pain, but it's, you know, your self-inflicted pain. You're doing it yourself. But if you don't do yourself, and still you're a devotee of the Lord, you're not offending other devotees, you still really want to go to Krishna, you still want this desire and you're focused on this, then Krishna will be very merciful to you. That's actually the manifestation of the supreme mercy of the Lord. He will arrange this kind of process and the end of your life. And through this process and the end of your life, the last traces of material attachments and material problems will be burnt away. So that's reality. That's science. If you really have this desire to go back home, back to God, you have to develop these qualities. And if you don't develop these qualities consciously, then Krishna will help you to develop these qualities. But it may be very painful. So it is much better to try to develop these qualities, or at least to be very conscious while we are practicing Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness means consciousness. Sometimes we think that Krishna consciousness means to be totally unconscious about everything and to do everything automatically, you know. Automatically chant, automatically go to the deities, automatically perform our duties. But this is Krishna consciousness, means you have to be conscious. And consciousness means, again, to understand the science, to understand the Sambandha Jnana, or the science of devotional service, which is necessary for you to really analyze your heart, what is going on within your heart. And then applying this science within your life, which is necessary to purify the heart of all the last traces of material attachments. And then ultimately, in the last, you know, few days of your life, you may be able to completely purify yourself and chant the holy name and the end of your life, and in this way passing this last test or last examination which is still ahead of all of us. But if we don't do this, well, if we're still dear to the devotees of the Lord, and if devotees of the Lord pray for us, then Krishna will still be merciful to us, and he will help us. He will help to purify our heart completely. And when I saw Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, that was a very strong impression which I had. Actually, Radhana Maharaj told me about Samba, son of Hayagriva, and he said that Samba, son of Hayagriva, visited Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj in one of his last days, and he went out crying, and he said, there is no one, I have not seen anyone who is as close to God as this man. And that's exactly the impression which was there, you know. The whole atmosphere around Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was so charged with these amazing qualities, amazing purity that, you know, it was not this world. It was not of this world. It was, you know, it was a Vaikuntha, really. Vaikuntha was already there, and that was a very good lesson for all of us, that ultimately this 100% purity is the price which we have to pay to go back home, back to God. 100%, not 99.9, not even 99.99. It has to be 100%, 100% pure. Then only we can go back home, back to God. And when I was leaving this place, Gita Nagari, Radhanath Maharaj told me that this is actually the mercy of Srimati Radharani. When we can see about all these sufferings, and at the same time when we can see how many devotees they paid their homage to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, how many devotees prayed for him, how many devotees acquired love, and how much love Bhaktivedanta Maharaj had for all the devotees. It was actually even painful to see how much genuine love he had. He only, you know, the impression which you got being near him is that he is made of this love, love for the devotees. There is nothing else within his heart. He only wants to love devotees, he only wants to give to the devotees. In the very last moments of his life, and Radhananda Maharaj said that this is manifestation of the mercy of Srimati Radharani. And Srimati Radharani is pleased with you, and her mercy manifests in this most amazing way, is that within your heart there is only love for others. There is nothing else. Nothing else remains there. And if this condition of your heart is created by your sadhana, by your service to the devotees, by your service to your guru, by your chanting, then only you can be sure that you go back home, back to Godhead. If you only acquire the mercy of all the devotees of the Lord, which will ultimately manifest in the mercy of Srimati Radharani, who is the foremost devotee of the Lord, then your heart will become totally pure, and then for sure you will go back home, back to Godhead. There is no doubt about it. There is no trace of a doubt about it. So today is a very auspicious day, because today we are all witnesses of this amazing event, passing away of Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. It is amazing, it's dramatic. And, you know, this is the point of this story, very important point of this story, is that devotional service, even though it is said specifically here, Yantanjasa Achyuta Priya Achyuta Padam, very easily he went to Vaikuntha. But this last passage to Vaikuntha is easy. But to reach to this point, to get to this point, it's not easy. You have to undergo so many tests and obstacles, and you have to be really determined to pass all these tests and obstacles to reach to this final abode. And only when you reach this abode, and therefore this story is so dear to the devotees, because it teaches us how to face all these difficulties and how to undergo all these tests and how ultimately go back home, back to Godhead. So, thank you very much. I didn't know that Bhaktivedanta Maharaj passed away, but this is very appropriate according to this verse. Yeah, it's very up to the point. Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Maharaj ki jaya. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya.